attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, rightly divided here with power, authority, and conviction by Bishop Eddie Addy from the Macarius Church headquarters. This anointed teaching will challenge you, strengthen you, and equip you for a truly victorious life in the Lord. Be transformed as you listen.
Give attention to my words.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for your blessing at this time. Thank you for bringing us together again to call us aside for the purpose of strengthening. We become stronger today. And may we go deeper into our awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We are still on our series on exploits of faith. Great things faith can achieve. Great things faith has done, can do, and will do in your life. Say amen.
Amen.
Father, thanks a million again. Let your word come freely with power in Jesus' name. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says, such as do wickedly shall he corrupt by flatteries. Wicked people will be flattered and they will fall for the flattery. Always know that when people are praising you, Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Sometimes when you hear somebody being criticized and you have not been criticized before, you will think there's something wrong with the person. Till the day you sit in a box of being criticized, when you haven't done anything, and then you see that it's not about the person, but there's a spirit in man that just fights anything that is good. So, if you like to be flattered, there are some people you don't want anybody to say anything negative, like you have not done this well, or they address an issue that something you should correct or something you should put in order. You immediately avoid that person who is trying to bring correction into your life. It's like when you see him this way, you run, you go this way. Also, no, I have a point in my mistakes. You see, there are some wives, especially wives, they don't want to be corrected in anything. So if there's a matter in the house, you shouldn't address the matter. You have to just praise everything. It's like you are, I don't know. Once you bring up that, you know, the time you bring the food is a bit late. Because when I want to go and you are not bringing the food, it really disturbs. Why? What is wrong? But when I come, you eat it. And if you eat, why? It's okay. Then the person becomes moody. So, it's like you can't talk about anything. Some of you have friends. Nobody should say anything about how you smell, how you dress. Some of you girls, you see, you have friends. It's like nobody should say anything, like there's nothing bad about you, only flatteries. And the Bible says that such people, God allows people to flatter them, you see, because they are wicked in their hearts. So they are corrupted by the flatteries. So they continue in the same way till the end of time, when destruction comes or judgment comes upon you. So don't just be there. This one is just an advice on the side. If you have somebody who points out that, the way your armpit is, it's not, you need abonua and ashes, lime and ashes to make your armpit smell alum. Alum is what? some white stone. And it helps to take away body odor. Because sometimes when I'm passing by, there are some of the lanes. It's not easy there. Oh. Something that can blow on you, if you are not strong, you can fall. You see? But you carry this, your body odor like that, so people will be avoiding bilabedosing you for many years. Because body, you know, when you are coming, it drives away people. Yeah, scent, no? Yeah. You see? Your hair smells. Hair smells. Hair smells. Hair smells. There too smells. It's like when you are right in a room, you change the atmosphere. It's not air refresh now, it's air pollution. And if you have a good friend, he will tell you that, look, very simple. You do see, because there's no way to sugarcoat it. Because like you are smelling bad. So a lot of people walk around people who are smelling, but they can't talk. Because if they go and say, you see. You see. And it's for your good. But you don't want. So when you go and marry, no issue can be brought up that will be settled in peace. There is no discussion. Do you see? Which your face is lowered, your voice is lowered that we are talking. Oh, okay. What you are saying, I understand. Yeah, what you are telling me the other day, yeah. So what I was pointing out is that, you know, when you are with this person and then you do this, is that, oh, okay, is that so? There's no discussion which is flowing comfortably like that. Too. Everything is and what? Why? You always like this thing that you are always on my case, and I don't know what I've done to you that you are always So then the person has said, okay, it's okay. You know what? It's okay. Let's just drop the matter. Meanwhile, the matter has not been settled, but I will see a gentleman because baby Elkonor. We were trying to help a situation, but now we have made the whole thing like some chimamin chimbi. Do you see? So such people that do wickedly shall he corrupt by flatteries. It's very important. Oh, you are the greatest preacher. Hey, I don't follow comments and accolades to preach. Like, I'm not preaching for your applause or comments from you that, oh, I'm a very great teacher of the word. So I have to teach in a way to get that, to solicit such or elicit such comments to feed my ego. No. Long ago, I stopped preaching for clapping. Clap here, clap here, clap there, to show that, oh, that was a very good word. I mean, many, many times I preach, I don't hear any comment at all from any of you that it was a good word. And I'm comfortable with that because sometimes too, when you are always, hey, that was a good word. I mean, I've never heard such a preacher in the world before. In fact, when you preach, I tell you something happens to me. Hey, meanwhile, they don't do what you are saying to them. Do you see? So, I, the preacher, should not feel swollen headed and be walking around strutting like a peacock and feeling so pash. And then, oh yeah, I'm the man of God. Sure, man of what? Man of what? Yes. Sometimes when we preach, people get angry, they even leave the church. And you don't know what you are reading because you are just reading the Bible. You didn't even call their names. You just say, hey, this church, when they come, they always say this. Oh, I'm not called your name. I'm not afraid of you. If I want to tell you something directly, oh, Minya, I will call you. I will call you. Ah, Shanzi, or whatever. Have I not? Even recently, I texted him. He has some girl, be that, or girls on his status. Yes. Don't worry. He says it's his cousin. But the girl was dressed in some way. I said, ah, the way you are portraying this girl whose breast is there. I said, hey, you see, although you are a man of the spirit, as a rap star, you are portraying that you are into naked girls and girls. Oh, Bishop, I'm not like that. I said, yeah, but your status photos there, they are showing that open mouth, or maybe you are more breast. I'm going to shred that heart. I'm show in a way. Now, when he had it. I said, oh, it's my cousin. I said, it may be your cousin, but it's not a nice photo. Yes. Can even be your sister, but you cannot put your sister's naked photo that is because my sister. We don't do that. And I'm just using it as an example because he's my son. He will not be angry. And it's not you. That's why I'm not using yours. And I texted him, saying text with him that I don't like the photos on your status.
Yes.
And some people will see it, they won't say anything.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this guy is some way. He likes girls who are whatever on the DP and so on. His status is full of naked girls. So when you see him, you look at him some way that he's a very bad boy. Meanwhile, you've never addressed the thing because you are into flat. Oh, yeah, when you say, oh, yeah, sounds good. I like the way you jump and hit the ground with your bum bum. Meanwhile, that's flattery. So if he follows you, he'll be corrupted by the flattery. He will not be a good person. But those who know their God, the Bible says that they shall be strong and they will do exploits. You will do exploits. You are one of those who will do exploits. What are exploits? Because I think that we have to understand it, because sometimes when you don't understand the English word, it doesn't give you a revelation. Exploits. A striking or notable deed. Feat, spirited or heroic act, such as the exploits of Alexander the Great. Yes. Are you there? Exploits. Exploits. You will do exploits. You see, a striking or notable deed. Oh, what would you do? Be notable. Yeah. What you do, it will be a notable deed. Yeah. Beautiful. You see that you do things, it will be a talking point. People will be talking about it for many years to come. Exploits. Yeah. Are you there? And to be strong in your God, one of the things you must be strong in is to be strong in faith. The Bible says that Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So tell somebody, don't be weak in faith, but be strong in the Lord. Be strong in faith. Huh? Don't be weak, but be strong. 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 Be strong. Yeah. Are you there? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, Bible says, the just, now the just shall live by faith. The way you live is by faith. You live by faith. You live. So your life must be faith life, faith walk, faith talk, faith movement. You're going in and out, faith. You must be a man. You live by faith and not by sight. He said, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. My soul shall not have pleasure in him. Do you see? There are many Christians who fall into this category where you have drawn back from faith. You don't believe anymore. Because in this world, there are so many things that will happen to rock your boat and deflate your faith. Many happenings. Faith in God can go down. That's why Europe and other places, they don't believe, they say there's no God again. They don't believe in it. Something is going to happen here. Yeah. You see, they don't believe. And you can be a Christian who is in church, you just come to church, you don't really, you are not into believing God and believing in things. Or you believe, but it's not strong belief. Any wind that blows will just shake your faith. Yeah. If you lose your job, that will be the end of church. If your relationship breaks, that will be the end of Christ. Yeah. You don't follow God in a way that nothing moves your faith. Paul says, shall tribulation or distress or nakedness or sword. Can any of these things shift us from the love of God or Christ? The answer is no. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? But a lot of us, the things that they are listing here, tribulation, it will take your love away. Distress, you are finished. Persecution, you run away. Hunger, famine, that's the last time you came to church. I've not eaten for some days. I don't know how I can come to church. I don't have food to eat. Why should I come to church when I don't have food to eat? Famine has taken away your love. Or nakedness. Now you don't have a dress. I can't come to church. A lot of excuses of people who don't come to church from, I don't have this dress. I cannot do this. I'm not part of this. I can't come. I don't have a dress. My dress is not appropriate. I don't have any dress that I can use for church. I can't come. Nakedness. Or peril. Or sword. You see, next verse. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. The next verse says, nay, in all these things, in nakedness, in famine, in distress, in peril, in sword, in all kinds of things that are thrown at us, he says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. None of these things. You are going to meet all these things in the world. If your faith is not strong, you'll be shaking. You'll be shaking. Your faith in your church, your faith in your God, in your pastor, in your prophet, in your man of God, in your shepherd, your faith in your marriage, in your husband, in your wife, your faith in, I mean, it's like faith. You are the one who said when you were coming to do the wedding that, dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God, in the face of this congregation, to join together this man, this woman, holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate, Israel of God himself, sitting on the mystery of the leader of Jesus Christ and his church, which holy estate Christ had done and missed in the first marriage, which brought in Cana of Galilee, is commanded and holy way to be honorable and honorable, not by any to be enterprised, nor take the hand of the advice that you want only, but this and soberly in the fear of God, duly considering the cause of my children, was ordained. It was ordained for mankind according to the will of God, that children might be brought in the fear of the Lord, and to the praise of his holy name. Do you understand? Then they ask you that, do you take this woman to be your wedded wife, woman to be your wedded wife, to live together after God's honor and the Holy Spirit of matrimony? We are not worried, we see. Yeah. Then he said, see, I will take him as my, we will live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony. Do you understand? I certainly will until death parts you. You say, I believe in this marriage so much that I'm dead till death parts us. Death hasn't come. Peril has come. Tribulation. He was not happy. Be shouted one or two in the house. No. Don't worry, you. I said I'll marry, but I'll stop. I said till death, but I'm not going to die in this marriage. I'm not a fool. I won't die in this marriage. I'm not going to die in this marriage. I'm not dying in this marriage. Meanwhile, you said death. Even when death comes, it will part. You will not, it will never separate you. Death, only death can part you. Love is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it. Neither can the floods drown it. If anyone will break up this union, it will be Satan. Satan and Maya, you are breaking the union. Because it's your faith that is under attack. Your faith in the institution of marriage. Your faith in love. Your faith in God. Your faith in patience. That patience is a great quality of believers. Long suffering. That you suffer long. You are still suffering. You are in it. So I'm trying to show you that the faith you have in God, it's always under attack at different levels. Yeah. And you have to grow stronger in the Lord. So the Bible says that if you draw back, God says that my soul shall not have pleasure in you. Verse 39, Hebrews chapter 10, he says, but we are not of them which draw back unto perdition. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. It's like we believe to the end. We believe to the uttermost. We believe to the very, very end. Even when we are dying, we believe. Even when we are struggling, we believe. Even when we don't have money, we believe. Even when nobody is standing with us, we believe. Even when men criticize us, we believe. Men persecute us, we believe. When there is sword coming, we believe. When politicians change, we believe. When they continue, we believe. Nothing can move us. Paul said, none of these things move us. None of these things move us. By the way, you people follow God there. Sight and quan. And this world has a lot of things to see and to meet. Yeah. You meet things in this world. But I pray for you that Jesus told Peter that Satan had desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that what will happen? Your faith fail not. Your faith in me, your faith in God, your faith in relationships, your faith in, the convictions you have on the things you believe, like tongues, my faith in prayer, it cannot easily be shifted like that. Then it means I didn't really believe what I said I believed. I say I like you. I say I love you. It's to the death. It's till Jesus comes. I'm not saying it to humor you. I'm not saying it to make people feel that, oh, I want them to know that I'm a man of love. No, it's in my heart. And whether you are in my face or you are absent, I will still be saying the good things about you. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then Hebrews 11:1 continues. This verse is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like it from the Message Bible. The Message Bible says that the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Everything that makes life worth living. If it's a job, it makes life worth living. If it's marriage, it makes life worth living. Well, if you get a wife and you have your own, it's very nice. And life is worth living. You live comfortably. If it's provisions you need, if it's a car, it makes life worth living. If it's business that is doing well, it makes life worth living. If it is going abroad and coming for holidays and going for shopping and coming, it makes life worth. It's nice. When you have a nice car, nice dress, nice shoe, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nice hairdo, it makes life a bit more enjoyable and comfortable. That's what he's trying to say, that it makes life worth living. Yes, the fundamental fact of existence is that trust in God
And believing in God is the basis, the foundation, the fapim, and the rock on which you stand that makes everything in life worth living. Yes, it is our handle on things we can see. Then he says that because by it, the elders, the fact of faith, the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. God will set you above the crowd. God will set you above the crowd. You are going above the crowd. That's why you must grow in faith. When we come to church and they are preaching, our faith is bolstered and boosted, and we become charged. We are ready for all things. Oh, yesterday, Reverend Steve Mensah, he blew my mind. Oh, beautiful. He gave the testimony of his son. He was born 6 months and 3 weeks. Very tiny baby, 1.1 kilos. He had a brain problem, so it was some discharge from his ears. And something didn't form well between his ears and his nose. That whole ENT area didn't work. At age 10, he was still sucking his thumb and calling my mommy. I want my mommy, I want my mommy. And sucking breast. 10 years. He was always last in class, or last but one. One day the teachers, three of them, they came to him and told him that your son, he has a mind that he will become a pilot. But it's a bad idea because where his brain is, he cannot reach that place. So let him lower his vision so that at least teacher or maybe some washman or laundryman or something can wear. But not something that you don't have to use so much brain power. Yeah. There are jobs like that, sweeping the same route. And go in and come. You don't need a lot of thinking. But pilot, there's a bad idea. Because he had bought a toy for his son, which was a toy aeroplane. And when he was playing with it at a point, he dropped the remote and the aeroplane was flying and fell down. And told the daddy that, I want to be a pilot. At the time when his brain couldn't process information. When the teachers told him, he said, are you mocking me or something? I know the condition of my son. Don't come and mock me. They left. When they left, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Spoke to him. I will say that from when they left, the Holy Spirit injected him with a power of faith. An injection of faith. Because he himself as a father and a man of God had given up on the condition. He even told the son that a pilot, he had even told the, before the teachers came, he himself had told the son that it's a bad idea. But your brain doesn't reach such a place. But there is a day, the same word of God that you have been hearing, there comes a time where a faith injection pumps it into your heart. And when it enters your heart, something will hit you and tell you that with God, all things are possible. So immediately he called the teacher, he called the house and asked the wife, is my son in the house? Said, my son is in the house. He said, tell him, I'm coming there. I'm coming to lay hands on him. Because a supernatural injection of faith has entered. The same word, he has read that word, he has used it to preach. Others have been blessed, but he has not believed it for his own child. That's why when you are in an atmosphere like a service, or you are in a convention, or you keep hearing a particular word that blesses you over and over again, that faith comes. And one day, there's always a day. There's always a day. Bishop Doug talks about a day. He had been preaching. He had believed that God had called him to be a teacher. He was preaching. He was watching preaching videos. He was watching preacher men. He had formed a fellowship. He had formed a church. He was preaching. But there's a particular message. He had listened to it over and over again. He was praying. And one day, around 3 a.m., as he was waiting on the Lord, that supernatural injection came upon him. And he said, he felt something entering here. And he heard a voice that said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can. But he had been teaching. He had been teaching. But what that lovely voice is saying is that from now, you have been teaching, but you are going to teach properly. Now you are going to be a worldwide preacher. Now you are going to be international. Now you are going to build churches. Now you are going to teach nations. Now you are going to teach kings. Now you are going to teach many people. Now you are going to affect many languages. Now you are going to write books. Now you are going to have crusades. At that time, that voice had not yet come. So you are just doing what is your due. That's why it's important to listen to messages and listen to them again. Most Christians have stopped. They don't believe in the act of listening to messages over and over again. There should be messages you have listened to more than 20 times. Actually, there shouldn't be a message you say is a blessing to you that you listen to it only once while you are in the service. Any message that was a blessing to you, you should at least listen to it for nothing less than 7 times. God's perfect number is 7. So by the 7th day, we will hope that something would have entered. Because it means that there is something about a faith that message is going to generate in your heart. Just when you heard it once, it hasn't yet happened. But the more you hear it, the more you hear it, the more you hear it, or the more you follow on and hear and continue hearing, reading and continue reading, and your heart is open, one day you will see that that thing has come, that from today you can do something. Oyedepo was sitting in Kenneth Hagin's meeting. He was in the gallery. He had traveled from Nigeria to America for a conference. Papa Hagin was ministering. He said, I've loved this man for all my life. I've read virtually all his books, listened to many messages. But I took a journey and went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said, while I was seated in the gallery and listening to this great patriarch of faith, my heart burning with desire, hot desire for what this man carries. He said, I spoke in my heart, Lord, whatever makes Hagin Hagin, I want it. Whatever makes Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, I want that thing. He was sitting in the congregation, far away. He says, my eyes were focused on the man of God, his every movement. Because he says, sensitivity is the only way to maximize your portion in the prophetic service. I cannot be in a service when the man of God is moving and I'm not following the movement. Because yours can come to you by the smile from the prophet, and yours can come to you by the waving of the hand. So you just have to be sensitive. So while he was seated, sensitive and his heart desiring for what Kenneth Hagin carries, says suddenly, at a point, something was fired up to him. And he began to cry. He said, but I'm not emotional, but I was crying. In the midst of the sobbing, he said, I heard a voice telling me that from today, the baton has been passed over to you. The baton this man is carrying, the baton of faith that he's carrying, I'm handing it over to you from today. He left Tulsa, Oklahoma. He came to Nigeria like a normal person. Oh yes. He said he had a Beetle, the only old car. Before he left, his mechanic said the car had gotten bent. The car got bent. He said, I don't care. Go and pull it from wherever it is and work on it. If it works fine, I'll pay you when I come back. And unless you have an injection of faith, many, many, many miracles and many exploits will not happen in your life. You may be young, but you can be a man of faith. You may be a girl, but you can be full of faith. Instead of being full of Twitter and full of Instagram and full of Snapchat and full of TikTok and full of reels, you know, videos, dogs chasing cats, cats chasing rats, lions chasing impalas, snakes eating giraffes. I mean, you have all kinds of videos that have filled your stomach. But I'll tell you that anybody Jesus healed, virtually anybody, maybe apart from some dead people, and one or two instances, everywhere was your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. When blind Bartimaeus met him, he said, your faith has made you whole. When the woman with the issue of blood came to touch him without his knowledge, your faith has made you whole. When the lepers were cleansed and one came to give, he said, your faith has made you whole. Huh? When the lame man was lowered by his four friends, the man who was the paralytic, they lowered him. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. He saw the way they lowered the man, broke the roof. He said, I'm in the house. You can't come through the door, but you have broken the roof and taken off the ceiling and lowered the man that I should touch the man. Then he told the man, son, your sins are forgiven. He saw the faith of his friends. Without faith, you won't see many things. Jesus was the greatest anointed person, and yet he always referred to the faith of the people. Your faith. Your faith is what is taking you over to the other side. If it was today, it would say that your faith has made you pass your exams. Your faith has given you victory here. It's your faith that has given you that relationship. It's your faith that has made this marriage work. It's your faith. But sometimes you, the believer, you don't believe. You don't believe. With your mouth, you kill your marriage. Useless woman. Foolish witch that I've married. Useless man. He will kill me before my time. What? When the psalmist says that I shall not die but live to declare the words of God, you are saying that your husband will kill you before your time and your wife has made your blood pressure go up. By it, the elders obtained a good report. By it, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. By it, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. Verse 5 now. Let's go to verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. We are doing a Bible study on Hebrews. You see, the Hebrews, you see that Hebrews is like a catalog of exploits that people have, things people have accomplished. That's why you see, by faith Noah, by faith Abel, by faith this person, by faith this person, by faith this person. So each one, when they are going to tell what he did, they precede it with by faith. And that same thing will happen to you too. By faith you will drive a car. By faith you will be well. By faith you will not die early. By faith you will get married. By faith you will go to school. By faith you will finish the school. By faith you will travel to London. By faith you will go upwards. By faith you will be promoted. By faith that door will stay open for you. By faith you will get that contract. By faith you will establish that contract. By faith you will do that business. By faith your children will grow up and become great in this world. By faith. I don't want you to think that there's something else. So when you don't have faith and your faith is not strong, you have all kinds of responses and gimmicks and angry outbursts and gimmicks. You don't have faith. But this series and this convention, I'm telling you that I'm helping you and I'm bringing you to the point where you will run and you chase and develop and educate and imbibe, internalize everything you need to make your faith stronger and stronger in the Lord. Oh yes. When you don't have faith, you are afraid when the government elections are coming. If the MPP goes, I'm finished. If NDC comes, I'm dead. If MPP stays on, it's not going to be easy. If MPP, NDC comes again, I'm finished. No. You don't. Those things will, none of these things will ever move you. Because whether it's NDC or MPP or PPP or New Force or Fresh Force
or Butterfly,
whichever one comes, to God be the glory. I am still up where I have to be. Because the fundamental fact of my existence is that it's my faith that is the basis, not the change in the politics. Not whom I know at Ecobank, or whom I know at Bank of Ghana, or whom I know at that insurance company, or whom I know at that educational institution, or whom I know at that particular place where the company, they give cars to all their employees. It's not about that one. It's about my faith in God. Because by faith, I can get what you are getting from your job. By faith. I can travel the way I have to travel if I want to. By faith, not by a job that I have. I'm talking about faith in our God. That is the fundamental basis of our existence on earth. Instead of developing your faith, you are shining your face and adding more foam to your buttocks so that you look very big on this side. Only faith in Tina will use back behind. Instead of using faith, you are using fake buttocks, fake breasts instead of faith. What do flat chest now? Who say when your bank manager or Maro? Yes, flat chest, flat buttocks, flat chest. But you are being chosen by faith, by faith, by faith. You don't have faith. That's why you are looking for somebody to sponsor you. You are smiling at anybody who looks prosperous. No, no, we're smiling away so that at least if you service him, he can also service you. Your life is changing from today. I said your life is changing from today. Faith will enter your heart. You'll become another man, another woman, another man, another woman. From today, things will start to amend. Reverend Steve said that he laid hands on his son. The guy rolled. He was thrown into the chest. He fell. He was crying. He said, "Call him, bring him again." He laid hands. He fell into the chest. The wife said, "What are you doing?" "I'm laying hands on my son. I am imparting into him the wisdom of God, the superior wisdom that puts a man ahead of his class." He said, from that moment, you see, when faith arrives, things start changing from that moment. I like the story of Jesus. He laid hands on, he said, he prayed. He says, the guy began to amend from that moment. He began to amend. In that same hour, he began to amend. Like when he laid hands on, he spoke that you are healed from that time. Then they checked the time. And the man checked the time too. When this child began to amend. So when did Jesus say that? Said he meant at this time. He said, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Yay! Yesterday! So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. The very hour when Jesus said, thy son liveth. That's why I say, when I'm here and I'm saying, have a big amen net. When you are in a service, have a big amen net is when you shout your biggest amen to any prophetic word. If you ever make a mistake and the sentence has, you are blessed in it. Do you understand? You shout your big amen. And you shout it with faith and say, amen. But you will be too slow. Okay, someone can three times. Amen, wonder. And I showed you yesterday that as for prophetic things, you may see, hear something and think that if they repeat it, that's when you say the amen. But sometimes the first one is finished. But we are pastors. We also love our congregation. So we want you to have a good feeling that we have repeated the thing and your amen has become louder and louder and louder. And at the seventh time, it became louder. But maybe in God's mind, the first one is when the blessing flowed. So only those who said the amen louder and clearer received their blessing the first time. Elisha put his hand on the king. He shot the arrow in the window and he said, this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Then he told them, take arrows and strike the ground. He took the arrows, 1, 2, 3, and he stopped. Hey, why did you stop? Why did you stop? You should have done it 5 times. You should have done it 6 times. You would have finished your enemy. But now you win only 3 times. You will come back. Ah. If it was a pastor like myself, I'd say, oh, continue hitting the 5 and the 6. Meanwhile, it won't work. Because you should have been fast enough and alert. Some of you, when it comes to, you see, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. All the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom is preached, and all men press into it. pressing. They press. Like they push. People are pushing.
You people, you don't know. There used to be a time in Ghana, trots and things were scarce. They were not common like that. There was no petrol. Trots with petrols were few. So when it comes, there will be a long queue. But Charlie, by the time the trot pass, you see that people are rushing. Man, who be that? So you don't understand what we say, rushing into things. Tinapa, sardine, milk, they were not common. Bread. We call it essential commodities. So when it arrives at the place, we have heard that, this supermarket at Blue Mart, at Gate, they have got milk. You see people running. Oh, kwa him, koto milk. Rushing. And sometimes they rush into the shop. The door cannot even contain the people because everybody is trying to enter. But you see, you are pressing. Why? Because there's something essential they must get. And that is how the kingdom is. Don't sit down phlegmatically and say the thing for you never lost. If God will nyami be shrao, be shrao. Ya nyami e shrao, e shrao. It ye hiyase me ka amen papa biya. Jack, menje jao. Tell your neighbor, menje jao. Tell your neighbor, menje jao. My eyes are red. I'm going for the kingdom. Tell somebody, I'm going for the kingdom. If you, some of you cry the way you are saying it. I'm going for the kingdom. I'm going for the kingdom. You are too late. Even your sentence is so slow that some people have gone ahead of you and you have joined the queue at the end. Sometimes you are in the front and you tell your friend that, come! No, Ojina Hona. Oba. By the time he comes, about 50 people have come. It's like, you are now saying, when they motion to you to come, you should have gone quickly. Somebody is taking his place in the name of Jesus. Aggressively impressing. Elijah said, if you see me go, it will be so. But if you don't see me, the Bible said they were separated by a chariot of fire. Nobody wants to be burnt. So when the fire came, he separated. Elisha looked in Elijah's direction. Then the whirlwind took Elijah up very fast. He said, my father. When Elijah saw, he was going with everything. His dress, his cloak, everything. When he saw the aggression and the fire that is in Elisha's eyes, he said, I can't take this cloak. So he dropped. That's when he fell off. You are not fast and aggressive. And you are not bypass. Oh, sir. This is your year of tapping into your miracle and what is yours in the name of Jesus. Verse 5, Hebrews 11. We are just finishing. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch didn't see death. Everybody dies, but by faith, he alone didn't see death. Because the Bible says he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So by faith, you'll be exempted from evil. Yeah. Because it's by faith that he was translated that he didn't see death. So death comes on everybody. But as for he alone, when death was coming, he was given a supernatural exemption. God will exempt you from evil. Everybody is getting HIV, you escape. Everybody is getting some of the sickness in the pandemic. You alone, you escape. Everybody in your family didn't go to university. You alone, you go to university. I like the way your amen is sounding, but it can even get louder and more aggressive. Nobody has a wedding in your family. Do you see? But God will give you divine exemption. You will have a wedding. You will marry successfully.
You will go forward. You will not divorce. All your sisters have divorced, have come to sit in your mother's house. You seem to be the next in line. Because your marriage is also quarrels. I mean, unhappiness. So you've even reached the point, I am tired. But by faith, divine exemption, you are coming out. You are coming out. You are being set above the crowd. Receive your portion. The very moment these words are spoken, if yourself believe, you will see that it is that very hour that your life began to change. Your life will begin to change by a supernatural. I tell you that everybody Jesus healed, if you check your Bible, you see your faith has made you whole. Your faith has this. Great is your faith. The woman said, my daughter is grievously vexed. My daughter, not me, my daughter, please help me. He said, I don't give it to you. I said, but the dogs, they eat from the crumbs. I like being a dog. Because dogs even eat bread that is falling on the ground and it's still bread. So if healing is the bread, I'm eating some of the healing. Jesus said, oh woman, great is your faith. Go thy way. Thy daughter is healed. Thy daughter is saved. Your daughter is well. It is well with you. Therefore, you will pass your exam. All your friends have failed. You will pass. All your friends have gotten F. You will get A. All your colleagues have been laid off. You are still standing strong. We had a brother in Geneva. He used to work for the WHO. He was not even like a top worker there. Hey, I got to a point, they say, oh, they are downsizing. They are reducing their staff because their budget is stretched. This one do here, this one is gone. Then he was there. They say, this one too is gone. He is there. Another person was gone. He is there. At a point, they called him Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. He was there till he retired and died. He died from the job. Okay, table time. Ah, you'll be called Mount Zion. That cannot be removed. That cannot be. All the tenants. Landlord, you are the last man standing. He wants more money and nobody can pay. So he's telling you his son is coming. His daughter is coming. This one is coming. He himself wants to do some renovation. So you have to go out. And you'll be standing there. So you are my favorite tenant. Be here and help me to sort my things out. Yeah. Nobody buys land in your family. You will buy land. Nobody builds a house in your family, you will build a house. Nobody buys a car, you will buy a car. Nobody drives, you will drive. Amen. I was in a service, I told her, I was taking the offering when the lady came, Pamela. When Pamela brought her offering and she was going, I said, Pamela, learn how to drive. God is going to bless you with a car. She was going and she looked at me and she was laughing. I was like, yeah, where I work, cars don't come to people like me. And where I live, there's no car there. Nobody parks a car. There's no parking space even in the house. How will I get a car? So she just laughed and walked off. It wasn't long after that, she got another job. And there she got a car. And lo and behold, she couldn't drive. So her husband used to take the car, drop her at work, continue to his work, come back after work, pick her and take her home. She was telling me that, oh, Bishop. I think that time I was even reverend. No, Kemia can Nkasi drive in there. No, me Nkeshe kula. Ukeshe. Ukeshe una. Ask your neighbor, are you sharing with the thing? That means that are you playing with it? Are you playing? The word is being spoken. You are playing with it. I say you marry, you say you are laughing. Hey, Bishop.
The angel of the Lord came to Sarah. Came to Abraham. He was discussing with Abraham outside. Sarah was inside. He said, "Oh, your wife Sarah is going to give birth to a son. Yeah, through that son, I'm going to bless the world." Then Sarah was in the room. She laughed. She was not in the conversation. She just says, and she thought within herself that, at my age, will I have pleasure? Like, am I going to still come and do this type of lift your leg, bend over, do this type of, at my age? My Lord being old also. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. And the angels heard her laughing. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Does God dear, when you think in your room, he will hear it. So some of you don't believe. In your head and in your thoughts, you cancel what is being said. Then when they say you are laughing, you say, where did she laugh? Say, shall I of a surety bear a child, which I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Oh yes, at the time of life, you will have a husband. At the time of life, you will have your visa. At the time of life, your church will grow. At the time of life. All Sarah needed to do was to, and Abraham needed to do, was to just say, look, the Lord said we are going to have children. So, oh yeah, to the bedroom. Kopim, kochim, opim. Yes, I'm coming. We have to put this thing to test. My God, we have seen this, we have heard this prophetic word. Sarah, it's been long time since we went to play soccer. But tonight, dear, by the prophetic word, we are going to do some game. We are going to do some game. We are going to do something. It's going to work. Some of you, it is because you don't have faith that your area fellowship is not working. The word has been given that this will be the agent of growth for the church. It's a prophetic word. So yours is to step out now and go and... The Lord is on your side. God is going to bless you. Jesus came to die for your sins. Go and call somebody. Talk to somebody. And when you step out, you keep doing that activity. So the more they did the thing, then one day... Hey, Sarah, are there? I don't know. I'm not feeling well. Why are you not feeling well? I don't know. When I smell your perfume, I feel like someone's salty. When I see color blue, there's something doing me. Hey, what has happened? Then she said, oh, I've missed. It seems like I've missed. You've missed what? I don't think even at that time she was even having a period. So even to miss is not even in the picture. Oh yes. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you read Genesis 5:24, he says that Enoch... Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And he walked with God till he died. He walked with God, not till he died, till he was taken. That means that you can follow God, serve him, be a Christian, be on fire for God till you die. You will not backslide. You'll be on fire to the end. You are not of them that draw back unto perdition. You are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 7. Let me just finish verse 7. Just make a note. Hebrews 11 verse 7. He says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his soul. Faith loves preparation. Faith loves preparation. You see, by faith, when all the warning signs came,
The Bible says that he was moved to prepare an ark. When you are a man of faith, you make you prepare for breakthrough.
Yeah.
I've been saying that your Saturday is coming. You get married. Why are you not preparing? Because you don't believe. That's why you are not preparing. Because a wife is found, not a girl. If a man finds a wife, not a girl. So you have to become a wife before you are found to be a beloved. You have to learn how to even dress, how to be respectful. Some of you, you have to prepare to be a submissive person. Well, you are not. Marriage is not boyfriend and girlfriend. Marriage is not friendship. Unti marriage ase. Inti na uko marriage mwa o enye yino. Uko waria obi bedu uso. God said he will rule over you. Also, mpe ruling over you. So if you have given a prophetic word as you will be a wife one day, or you are going to become a beloved, you have to prepare your heart and prepare your mind and tell yourself that, hey, so it means that I'm going to be somebody, somebody is going to now tell me what to make, what to bring food to make for him, and what time I should, how to, what to wear. Also, to an independent girl. When you want to bath, you bath. If you don't want to bath, you don't bath. So, faith loves preparation. I'm going to be a wife. I have to bath in the morning and bath in the evening. And I have to perfume myself with splash, body splash in the night. So I smell good for my husband. So I look appealing. I say you are going to be a wife. So you love to, you prepare for it. You are going to build, you will build a house. You will build your own house. Nobody has built, but you will build. That's a prophetic word. From this very moment, the building anointing has been imparted to you. But faith loves preparation. So what do? You start putting money aside. Instead of going to restaurant after restaurant, bar after bar, chop bar after chop bar, movie house after movie house, soccer bet after soccer bet. Any money you get, it is food. Any money you get is yogurt. Any money you get is ice cream. Any money you get is chicken. Chicken wings. Domedo. Chofin. Huh? We bought. Bone straight. Double drawn. Hey, I don't have this fascinator. Let me go and buy some. I don't have this green shoe. Let me go and buy a green shoe. No. As soon as a prophetic word is given to you, faith is injected into you, you start to prepare. Prepare for the breakthrough. Prepare for that time. Yeah. Faith loves preparation. And Noah, he prepared the ark. They were laughing at him. Hey. It hasn't rained for so many years. I can't see in 20. We'll see boats. Boats can crab. He's supposed to bring every animal, male and female, male and female. Hey, I'm sorry, Adiana. It has passed through the head. He was hearing all those things. But he was not moved. Rather moved by the prophetic word. You are going to be a prosperous, rich person. Amen. Start doing courses. Short courses, free courses. I hear there are free courses on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And you get it from where?
Allison.
And where? Coursera. So where is Coursera? Where can I find it? Who is it with? Is it School Junction? Or third gate. And even they will tell you Coursera. 3 months. Oh, you have not gone. They sent you the link the day I was preaching. Somebody sent you the link. Say, send me the link. He sent. 3 months, but you have not made any move.
That's why in Amos 4 he says that, thus will I do unto you, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God. When you are going to meet God, you prepare. Even that is even in heaven. But even when we are here on earth, when we have to come and meet God, we prepare. Oh yes. You have to bath. You have to prepare yourself. You have to do things. When God was about to meet them on the mount, I think Horeb it was, or Sinai, he said, let them sanctify themselves. Yes, let them come, arrange themselves and come in the morning. Yes. And they shouldn't come here. You told them the barrier they shouldn't cross. There's always preparation to meet God. Yes. In John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Where are you? Who is up there? A guy, no. And there's sensitivity. Father, help him. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. You know, I need young people who understand computer, like maybe you like playing with computer. You are upper generation people. Young, whoever you are, come and see me after church so that I can train you how to do this type of thing also. Because we need more hands. Beloved, are you there? Are you beloved?
Yes.
Now are we the sons of God? Are you the sons of God?
Yes.
And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, that's your faith. We don't know how we are going to be, but we know that he's coming. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. We don't know when he shall come. Don't be tired in your work. Don't be tired in your faith. Don't be tired in praying. We don't know when he shall come. We are expecting Jesus. We are expecting. That's our faith. We are expecting Jesus. We don't know when he shall come. We don't know how he will be. We don't know when he will come. But this we know. Verse 3 says, verse 3. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself. It's like if you have this hope, which is faith. Faith is the hope, things, the evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. That's your faith. Yes. He says that when you have this hope in him that he is coming, we will be changed. We will be like him when he appears. Yebeseno, se Yesu Christo nyame baneba yeneno ubese samri oris yes ye samri at this time oris yes ye amane ma yebeseno. We will look like him. He's preparing us for his kingdom. Say Yesu Christo nyame baneba yeneno ubese. And every man who has this faith that Jesus is coming, any man who has this hope that he's coming one day, the Bible says that he purifieth himself even as he is pure. Because as you are waiting, you are getting ready. I cannot just be fooling around. I cannot just be messing up my life. I can't allow that boy to be pressing me. I can't just be doing anything I like at all. Because he's coming soon. And because he's coming soon, I got to purify myself. I got to remove impurities from my mind. I have to block off and delete all the internet sites that lead me to the wrong things. I have to delete some photos on my page. I have to delete some links. I have to remove some websites. I have to go away from some photos that have been sent to me and some videos that I've been watching. I need to purify myself because my master is coming. My savior is going to prepare a place for me. When he comes, he will come again and take me to myself. By faith, Noah, when he was warned of God, he was moved to prepare an ark for the saving of his soul. God will bless you so much.
Yeah.
Make ready.
Amen.
Make ready. Make ready. Make ready. Go and tell Ahab that he should saddle his chariot and take off. Why? Because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Let him prepare to get home very fast. Because if he doesn't get home, rain will beat him. Rain shouldn't beat a king. Get ready. There's abundance of rain coming. Get ready. Father, we thank you for your blessing. The blessing of this beautiful word. Oh, Father. Marakosiakaba. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Just speak in tongues for a few minutes. Father God, help me. May my faith never fail. May I grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. Marato chiaka pa adio kasinde. Liro mahanda gada gada gaya. Remo safia mahandele medoriada. Raka sundele mikarabashindele mede. Preparation, preparation. Preparation for impartation. Oh yes. Don't chit chat. Just walking around, doing anything. Feeling sleepy, doing anything. Coming to sleep in the seventh. I am here, Lord. I'm here with my heart. I'm here with my life. I'm here, Lord. Touch my life. Touch my heart. Oranika sibala. Ropatia kasilele. Rapahundalaba. Zikaya. Maraninye. Shota. Lakarande. Siopa. Vantalige. Ropaya. Zikalora. Mashanda, Andala Marana, Sieka Fandalama, Rekonda Sikala, blessed be God, blessed be God, blessed be God. Father, we thank you for your beautiful word. Oh, yes. May we follow on to know the Lord. Let our faith grow stronger and stronger as the days and the years go by. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you are not a born again Christian. Maybe somebody invited you, but you came to church without knowing what it all meant. But today you want to be a serious Christian and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you. No movement, no talking. Everybody standing, please. I want to pray for you. Lift yourself up. Those of you who are bent over, stand up. Just let your face and your eyes be seen. Don't be shy of anybody and anything. If you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus. Oh yes. Just lift up your right hand so I can pray for you. Lift up your right hand. God bless you. Lift it up. Lift it up. Don't be shy. Don't discuss with anybody. What you feel in your heart, it doesn't matter who sees or who understands what you are doing. Just lift your hand. Lift it up high so I can see. Anybody here like that? Anybody here? I cannot see your hand. Lift it up higher. Please, 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 please. Don't walk out of here without knowing where you spend eternity. Lift up your hand. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to be a serious Christian. I want to go to heaven when I die. Lift up your hand. I need to pray for you. Anybody here like that? Anybody here? Do you have anybody lifting a hand? I cannot see anyone hand lifted. Wonderful Jesus. Anybody here like that? Let's all lift our hands and pray together. Heavenly Father, say it after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, I take Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Take over my life. Make me a new person. Write my name in the book of life. I'm yours forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I stand for communion? Yes, Lord. Ora kasanda lava. Karabosha. Father, we thank you for the bread. This is the body of Jesus. By faith, we are observing the Passover. To the glory of Jesus. The body of Jesus Christ.
My blood has eternal life.
This is the wine, but it is the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blood that washes us from all our sins, sets us apart, and makes us your children. Thank you for cleansings, the washings, the protection, the deliverance that comes through the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus.
This is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Drink.
It is the meal of God. It will sustain you. It will heal you.
The Lord bless you. The Lord help you. The Lord deliver you and protect you and help you with His mighty right hand. In Jesus' name, receive divine exemption from evil all around you. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have no doubt that you have received a blessing from the Word of God preached by Bishop Eddie Addy. Do join either of our Victory Secret Services
from the Macarius Church Headquarters,
East Egon Hills, Accra, this and every Sunday at 7:30 and 10:30 a.m. Connect with Bishop Eddie Addy on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you and lead you in a series of victories.